Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You know what I've come for. Kill them all.
Fulfill your destiny.
I'll show you the dark side.
When I found you, I saw something truly special.
Seen this roster only once before.
Let the past die.
You will never be as strong as Darth Vader.
It's time for the Jedi to end.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Ray Gunn would have had more success had she tried different music. I've gone back during our breaks and watched the kangaroo hop. It's enough to make you giggle every time. And the memes are funny, but you don't actually even need memes. You just need to watch the performance. And the way that she strutted around when she was done, as though she had just won a gold medal. Good for her. She was excited. She was happy. She got to perform at the Olympics. But she did not win a single point. And now even the judges are coming to her defense. But I kind of feel like it's a pity party now. Sometimes in my past, maybe, just maybe, I went out with the guys who asked because I felt sorry for them. They were pity dates. Oh, hey, it's the truth. Ask any female out there. I would say the vast majority of them would admit to going on a date with a guy at some point because we felt sorry for him. He got up the courage to ask, so that's worth sucking it up and going out even though you're not interested.
World champion of what?
Definitely not the world champion of dating. It took me, I wouldn't say way too long because I wouldn't change it, but it took me a long time. Anyway, this might be about coming to her defense because the poor woman has gone viral for all the wrong reasons. When you watch the performance from Ray Gunn, do you kind of feel like it's something a kid could have come up with? The choreography, the hopping, the kangaroo pose.
Yeah, multiple people on Twix were saying that, hey,
at a zoo.
This is when a 7-year-old says, hey, mom, watch this, and they do something absolutely ridiculous and unimpressive.
Yes. Now, the judge is defending her, but is also saying, well, yeah, there were reasons why we couldn't give her any points.
I think the judge is saying, please stop bullying her.
Originality, the judge gives her credit for bringing something new to the table. She was inspired by her surroundings. You know what this reminds me of? Something else, too. It triggers. When someone asks about how they look, and instead of answering the question directly, you answer a different question about a great personality or, hey, you did a good job at work today. I don't think she needs a pity party. I mean, it's unfortunate that it didn't go the way she wanted it to, but she looked like she was out there having a grand old time, pounding her chest, pointing to the Australia logo. Maybe she has as much bravado as Noah Lyles. Who knows? They've both become viral stars of these Olympic Games. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning to you. It's a Tuesday. And yes, there are still there are still storylines that we're sifting through from the Olympics, but mostly kind of goofy. If you missed it, Tyreek Hill is pretty sure he's faster than the fastest man in the world. And going back to Noah trolling team athletes and team sports in the U.S., keeping in mind that he wants to become a household name. And most of these Olympians, if they're in sports that we only pay a lot of attention to every 4 years, track and field, whether it's sprinting or pole vaults or long jump or the heptathlon, whatever it is, they only become mainstream in the United States every 4 years. It is rare that an athlete transcends the Olympics if they aren't already a seasoned pro or a decorated pro elsewhere. So tennis and golf, that's different. Basketball, that's different. Because these guys are already superstars in their own right and already millionaires in their sports. When it comes to things like swimming, Katie Ledecky is all the rage right now. Other names like Tori Husk, Caleb Dressel, veteran of multiple Olympics. But how often do you hear their names in non-Olympic years? You don't. I work in this business and I don't, which means you definitely don't, unless you happen to follow the sport yourself because you like it, so you're invested in it. But mainstream, not so much. Even incredible female athletes whose stories we revel in these last couple weeks. Gabby Thomas, Sydney McLaughlin Levroni, Sha'Carri Richardson. How often did you hear their names in the last 3 years? Maybe Richardson when she qualified for the Olympics. Oh, that was earlier this year. But yeah, they go back to their training. They run in lesser meets or they compete in lesser tournaments. And then when it's Olympics time again, we ramp up. I understand why Noah's doing what he's doing. He's not only trying to raise the profile of track and field back to the days when it was a little more mainstream because of Bolt. And he's also trying to keep his name out there. He's a brilliant trash talker. I think beyond the running, he and Tyreek actually have something in common. But he has been blasting basketball players, football players, mostly NBA, but other guys are taking up the banner and waving it themselves.
World champion of what?
Right? Why are you calling yourselves world champions? And to be fair, this is an argument that I've heard before. It's stupid. It's petty. It's not important. But has it worked for Noah Lyles? Absolutely.
So, I will beat Noah Lyles.
Well, let's let people hear the whole thing. So going back to Noah, again, just trying to get his name out there, making waves, making headlines, whatever he can do. He's kind of trolling NBA players because after they win the finals, they're branded as world champions.
The thing that hurts me the most is that I have to watch the NBA finals and they have world champion on their head. World champion of what? The United States? Don't get me wrong. I love the U.S. at times. But that ain't the world. That is not the world. We are the world. We have almost every country out here fighting, thriving, putting on their flag to show that they are represented. There ain't no flags in the NBA.
So after Noah captured the title as world's fastest man, photo finish at the 100 meters, then he ran the 200 meters and told us after the fact, as he was leaving the track in a wheelchair, that he tested positive for COVID. So Tyreek Hill's decided this is when he wants to jump into the fray.
Noah Lyles can't say nothing after what just happened to him. You know what I'm saying? Didn't he want to come out and pretend like he's sick? I feel like that's like horseradish. So for him to like do that and say that we're not world champions of like our sport says a like, come on, bro. Like, just speak on what you know about You know what I'm saying? And that's track.
Would you like to race him when he gets home?
I will beat Noah Lyles.
You think so?
I will beat Noah Lyles.
Like by a lot?
No, I wouldn't beat him by a lot, but I will beat Noah Lyles.
I'd like to see that happen.
If I'm not mistaken, that's the voice of Kay Adams. So Up and Adams. Okay, I want to make sure I give her credit because that's a conversation she had with Tyreek Hill. By the way, if you didn't notice or see the headline, he was actually named number one on the top 100 NFL players this season, voted on by peers. So this is not a knock on Tyreek Hill. He is one of the fastest in the NFL from point to point. He does it with pads. He jukes defenders. Eddie hauls in the pass and then fires off another couple of cuts and breaks and jukes and ends up in the end zone. So he's great at what he does. And congratulations to him on his new contract. But that doesn't in any way mean he could beat the fastest Olympic sprint champion on the planet.
I will beat Noah Lyles.
So I did my research because I knew a meter and a yard were close, but they're actually not, well, they're not exactly the same.
Yeah.
So over the course of a 100 meter dash, you have to run 109 yards. Okay. So yeah, they're a little bit off, but when you extrapolate it out to 100 meters, that's 109 and a half yards roughly.
That's end zone to end zone.
Right. We're talking about deep in the end zone to deep in the other end zone.
Goalpost to goalpost, if you will.
If you will. And we're talking about starting out of a block, which, of course, Tyreek Hill has some experience with. But Noah's signature is closing. He may start slower, but he closes fast. That's what he does well. And yeah, to say that Tyreek Hill is cracked 10 seconds in the 100 meters, wind aided one time, is not the same as what Noah Lyles has done in training. Anyway, I don't think it would be a race. I'm not saying Tyreek wouldn't give it a go. He would. But ultimately, Noah would pull away.
No photo finish like we had in Paris.
No, not a photo finish. Remember, we're talking 10 seconds. 10 seconds is actually slow for Noah Lyles. Right? So even coming out of the start block without a great break could be what dooms Tyreek Hill. He can run. Absolutely can run. But he's not as fast as the fastest man on the planet. Who, by the way, just beat all the other fastest men on the planet. Like it's easy. Just easy peasy.
Yeah, just throw the shoes on.
Get out there and run.
Yeah.
It's just a Sunday jaunt. A Sunday sprint.
A couple of clouds in the sky.
We've got the poll up. Love to hear from you at A-Law Radio.
Can't have too much wind, though.
Well, I've heard of that before, though. Wind aided. It's in order so they can compare the times. They have to, well, in a stadium, maybe it's a little bit different, but they have to compare the times in order for world records or Olympic records to stand. They all have to be under the same conditions. So if there's an extra wind at their backs, they adjust for it. So you can claim that your fastest was under 10 seconds, barely. It's still 2 seconds slower, 2+ seconds slower than Noah Lyles. I mean, it may not feel like a lot, but 2 seconds in a 100 meters is huge. Wait, did I say 2 seconds? 0.2 of a second. 0.2 of a second. My fault. That's totally my fault. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Right now, Noah is beating Tyreek Hill downfield soundly. But I'll let you go and check out the poll. And I'll have to see if I can put something up on Facebook as well. I haven't yet, but you all usually find a place to weigh in. 855-212-4227. I wonder how many people in the last day Googled, when does the WNBA season start up again? Remember when it was a nightly topic of conversation? I'm hoping that as it returns, all the excitement over the WNBA stars banding together to win the 8th consecutive gold medal for the women in basketball, that a lot of that will come back and once again will lift up the WNBA, which still has a half a season to come, plus playoffs. We haven't seen Caitlin Clark in weeks, but I think absence makes the heart grow fonder. Now, we've seen her at the fair.
Yay.
We've seen her at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, we have.
We've seen her get her own number 22 jersey.
With Juan Soto as well, who currently wears number 22 with the Yankees.
But he doesn't get his name on the back. That's the difference.
That's
We've seen all of that. But to see her play basketball again,
that'll be fun.
Wonder if fans are going to be as excited. I'm actually kind of interested in that. I don't know about the numbers for the women's Olympic gold medal game yet, but the numbers for the men, through the roof. And no doubt, when you have that compilation of star power, it's huge. So I'm not surprised. But the final numbers for the men's gold medal match featuring vintage Steph Curry. Yeah. They were huge. So the numbers dwarf anything from the NBA finals.
Come on, bro.
The numbers maybe give the NBA hope that people will watch basketball. If USAB. It gives them that type of excitement. Remember, because the NBA, and this is Adam Silver himself, has indicated that people do not watch basketball games on TV anymore, which is one of the reasons that they're heading to Amazon, they hope. But to me, I say if you put a good product on the court and it's compelling and it's entertaining, yes, a lot of star power. I mean, it was a compilation of star power that we just don't see anywhere else except for the All-Star game, and that's crap. But get this, 22.7 million people.
That was sick.
Hi, Alan. 22.7 million viewers on NBC to watch that men's gold medal game. And it was the middle of the day on a Saturday afternoon in the summertime. Massive. So it's NBC and it was Peacock. It is huge. It averaged nearly 20 million viewers, but at peak, yes, Steph Curry, 22.7. That, as I say, dwarfs the highest rated NBA Finals game. The most watched gold medal game since the 96 Summer Olympics in Atlanta.
Damn.
Right. So people will watch basketball. 9 million viewers tuned in for U.S. women's soccer against Brazil in the gold medal match. And this is why I tell you that the Olympics are back. This is why I tell you that these Olympics generated more spirit and excitement than I have seen or felt in a long time. The average numbers from the nightly coverage is amazing. 30 million people. Daily, 30 plus million people to the coverage of the Olympic Games, right? So that's between primetime. Now, the majority of people did watch primetime, even though they were taped and you could access the results at any other point, even though the events were made available live on Peacock and some of the other networks. Still, people tuned into primetime. It was appointment viewing at night. But 30.6 million people daily to the coverage from NBC and Peacock and his family of networks. That's impressive. Caitlin Clark is proud. That, I mean, that's the kind of stuff you get for football games.
Holy smokes.
So you were part of that, Americans. We were watching the Olympics. We loved them. We couldn't get enough. I thought it was something interesting, too. A study asked viewers what they liked, what they didn't like about the coverage of the Olympics. And do you know what was notable? Sports fans were so thrilled that they didn't have to get gambling ads nonstop. That every single commercial break wasn't filled with a gambling ad. It's funny because I never noticed that. I didn't really think about it, but now that it's been pointed out, it's true. An average of nearly 20 million. That was for men's basketball. 22.7 at its height and more than 30 million people daily gobbling up Olympics coverage. Bravo, Paris. But also, it's just the beginning. LA is going to kick that to the curb. Manny was a little nervous about what I might say.
I was about to say, wow, Amy Lawrence.
Well, I'm fired up about this whole Noah Lyles versus Tyreek Hill thing.
That's how we should get a 2028 started. That should be the first race. Noah Lyles against Tyreek Hill.
No, we're not waiting that long. Tyreek Hill will be 34 by then. No.
So will Steph Curry. Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant.
Steph will be 40 by then.
Yeah, all ancient. All borderline AARP members.
Ancient. All right. Ancient in sports terms, maybe. Except LeBron James is still playing, and he's he's about to be 40, right? Mm-hmm. Getting close. December 31st?
December 30th.
30th. Yeah, same as Tiger Woods.
I didn't know that about Eldrick. Wasn't aware when Eldrick's birthday is.
Eldrick. All right, we'll do a little baseball. Love to hear from you. Take our poll. Who wins in a 100-meter dash?
World champion of what?
Noah Lyles, Tyreek Hill.
I will beat Noah Lyles.
Spirited debate. Also, if you missed it, conversation with John Machota from Cowboys camp. Where is the sense of urgency to sign CeeDee Lamb? And why didn't the team do anything in the offseason? There's another question. Good morning to you. Happy Tuesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Don't be stupid.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Now, I understand completely the angst that's happening when you're anxious about and someone says anything about whether you're missed or not. Well, CD, you're missed, okay? But you're not missed out here competing, and it doesn't put any pressure anyplace on us.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
Jerry Jones clarifying when he says there's no sense of urgency to sign CeeDee Lamb. Clarifying, backpedaling, choose your verb. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, that from DallasCowboys.com on Sunday. So Jerry indicates that there's no real sense of urgency, but I needed to get the scoop from Oxnard, California. So we talked to John Machota of The Athletic about 2.5 hours ago. And I asked him, as we're going through good, bad, and ugly from Cowboys training camp, is this the ugly? Is it this CeeDee Lamb contract mess?
Yeah, it has to be, just because it looks ugly to have, you know, Jerry Jones talk about how he doesn't have a sense of urgency to get the contract done. CeeDee responds to that comment with an LOL comment. Obviously, he wants a new deal. He wants to be with his teammates getting ready for the season. And I do think ultimately there will be something that gets done, but it does look ugly right now. Heck, last year at this time, it kind of looked like it was going to get ugly with Zach Martin, and they got something done. And then in 2019, it was certainly getting ugly with Ezekiel Elliott, and they got something done, and he got a new deal. I mean, in 2020, you know, Dak had to play out that final year, and then he ends up having that severe ankle injury, but then he ends up still getting the contract that he got. Although things can look ugly at one moment, once that contract's signed, then everybody's happy and everyone can be friends again. But as of right now, it looks like that situation's kind of ugly. And it's a little bit of a head-scratcher just because of the fact that once that Justin Jefferson deal got done, I mean, it kind of sets up the parameters of where CeeDee would fall in that group. And so it seems like it would be an easy contract to get done, but clearly it's not. But it hasn't changed anything in terms of my belief that CeeDee Lamb will be on the field with a new contract week one against the Cleveland Browns.
Do you buy what Jerry Jones said, to clarify or to backpedal, Sunday before the game?
Well, Jerry, you always got to read a little bit between the lines. Like I say, I've been covering the team since 2011. There's nobody I've transcribed or heard talk or talked to more than Jerry Jones. And so what he does is great for our jobs, and it's that he gives you oftentimes a lengthy answer where there's a little bit of the answer that can be used for this side of the argument, and there's a little bit of the answer that can be used for that side, and then it keeps everybody talking. When you read between the lines, I think what Jerry Jones means is that he's fine with CeeDee Lamb not being at training camp because he knows how good of a player CeeDee Lamb is. He's seen him produce every year, improved the last 4 years, and in the 4 years he's been in the league with Dak Prescott. And so he doesn't need to see him out at training camp. He doesn't need him potentially suffering a freak injury and being out for the season at training camp. And this allows Dak to get more reps with a number 3 receiver like Jalen Tolbert, a number 4 or 5 receiver like Jalen Brooks, guys that are going to have bigger roles this year, they've been seeing more action because CeeDee Lamb's not out here. I think that's what he means more, and I think that that will be proven to be the case as long as that contract gets done sometime in the next few weeks.
Someone else who I've been hoping that we're going to see more of, how is Trayvon Diggs?
He's certainly making progress to the point where he's been able to do some drills, but you can tell that they're just easing him back in slowly. They practiced last week against the Rams, and he didn't get any work there. But I thought he would because a couple days before that, he did 7-on-7 work and was moving well, and he looked like the Trayvon Diggs of old. So I don't think he's suffered any setbacks or anything like that. I think it's just that, almost like I said, with the CeeDee Lamb thing, they don't need to see a ton from him out there to where he could potentially suffer a setback. They just need him to be out there week one. And that remains the case that they believe will be that, you know, he'll be out there with Jerron Bland, Jordan Lewis, and a kid they drafted in Caitlin Carson. I mean, they've got a real solid top four at corner is one of the strengths of the team. So they'll be up there, maybe not leading the league in takeaways, but I think they'll, again, be one of the better teams in the league at doing that.
He was definitely missed last season. Well, you mentioned Dak and Micah Parsons, and those are the other two names that are kind of put out there when talking about Cowboys business and potential deals that need to get done. If there's not a great sense of urgency about CD being in camp and ending that holdout, how would you gauge the sense of urgency when it comes to Dak and Micah?
Well, Micah is, he's been open about, he's fine with waiting. There's not really been any talks there. Micah would love to put out another even bigger season. I mean, I think right now, if let's say he was in the final year of his deal, you're talking about being the highest paid non-quarterback in the league. So right now that's Justin Jefferson. So, you know, $35 million a year, we'll say, would be the ballpark. But Micah can go out and put out, you know, defensive player of the year season, have 18 sacks and play the best ball. And he would love to have that going into a contract year. Maybe that gets him $40 million a year, because as long as he stays healthy, the path that he's on, when he gets that next contract, I'm confident he's going to be the highest paid non-quarterback in the league. And so because of that, he's been just fine with waiting. And with Dak, they're not that as close as they are with CD. And so because of that, I think there's a decent chance that Dak plays out the final year of this deal and they see where it goes. And if they are to have that, you know, deep playoff run, I think Jerry will be happy to give Dak, whatever, $60 million a year, whatever that number will be to reset the quarterback market. Whereas maybe right now he's not willing to do that, because I think if he was, I think it would be done right now. And I do think it comes down to Jerry Jones and where he feels comfortable on this. And there's plenty of room there to argue, well, you might be a lot worse without Dak Prescott than with him, and you're willing to risk that.
Wow.
And it seems like he is.
Even after last year in which he had an MVP type season, that's the crux of it, is he could do it during the regular season, but we didn't see that against the Packers?
I think that there are people that believe that, and heck, maybe even Jerry Jones believes that. He would never say that publicly. He's always, you know, been a big time supporter of Dak, so I haven't heard him say that, but you know, actions speak louder than words, and the actions are that this contract still isn't done yet, and you see all these other, you know, top quarterbacks getting new contracts. So what else would be the missing piece? I find it hard to believe you can find a better person, better leader, better team guy. Clearly, like you said, to be the runner-up for MVP during the regular season, there's nothing else he has to show during the regular season. So the only thing that's missing from his resume is to make that run in January. You've seen a guy like Matthew Stafford do it after he didn't really have any playoff success in Detroit, and the first year he does it with the Rams. So maybe Dak has that year this year for the Cowboys, and then it's just kind of a moot point, and they get a new contract done. But if you don't have it done, there's also the chance that Dak's like, oh, okay, you didn't want to sign me? All right. And then has a big year and goes, no, I'll go to free agency. And heck, maybe get $65 million. Who knows? Because that's the thing. There are some Cowboys fans that, you know, would be fine with them moving on from Dak. But the thing I always say to those folks is he is going to get paid by somebody. And, you know, and someone's going to give him a lot of money. There's not that many good franchise quarterbacks out there. That's why the market keeps going up.
Right.
If there were 40 of these guys, the market wouldn't be going up. But because there's like 10 to maybe 15, and the next guy up is just going to be the next guy that resets it. And if you don't want him on your team, just be careful, because there's no guarantee that you find another Dak Prescott or Tony Romo as the successor to him.
John Machota is with us from Cowboys training camp. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. How likely is it, John, that all three of these guys remain with the Cowboys?
I would still say it's, I'll say 60% chance, maybe 65, but I wouldn't go any higher than that, because I believe the Cowboys thought at least one of these guys would be willing to take somewhat of a team-friendly deal. When I say that, I don't mean like $10 million under market, but maybe a few million, you know? And they, none of them clearly are. They all want to be paid accordingly. And they were all on the field against the Packers, and obviously that didn't turn out well, but they've all shown during the regular season that they're all very elite players. And so all of them, whether they, the Cowboys pay them or some other team does, those guys are all going to get paid at the top of the market. There's something with the Cowboys that the front office, particularly Jerry and Steven, they believe with the low, you know, no state, you know, income tax, it's a pretty low cost of living in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the spotlight that you're in with the Cowboys and the endorsements that come with it. I think that they're always hopeful that at least a couple of these guys would be willing to take a somewhat team-friendly deal, and they're finding out that that's not the case at all. These guys all want to reset the market and be paid at the top, and it's going to be tough, but I really feel like if they would have had a deep playoff run last year, and let's say they get to the NFC Championship game, I think Dak and CD are both, their contracts are done right now. I really do believe that there's a part of Jerry Jones that wants to see more, and that's why he's willing to risk this, and that's why it's his version of this season being all in.
There's more with John Machota from Oxnard, California, including why fans are not buzzing this year. They're not showing up as much. They're not as active on social. His theory about why Cowboys fans maybe feel sufficiently chastised and are lowering their expectations for the Cowboys. A little bit about Dan Quinn, some of the top question marks for the team, and also the bad. There was an answer to the bad with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
How about them?
Cowboys. I don't know when it comes to Dak Prescott if the Cowboys can find a replacement for him that would be the combination of leadership and popularity in the locker room, but also the skill.
That's a fact.
I think that a lot of times when it comes to quarterbacks, fans get a little freaked out, a little edgy, and think, well, it's easy to replace this guy. No big deal. But honestly, the devil that you know is sometimes better than the devil you don't know. And there's no way that, well, there's very little chance that a rookie that you draft or someone that you grab in free agency is going to be better than Dak at this point. Now, it costs a lot, but he's still an elite QB. He's still one of the top 10 in the NFL based on last season. But there's not a lot of excitement around Cowboys Nation. So good stuff with John. You can check it out. It'll be posted online, our Facebook page, or on Twix A-Law Radio. Taking our poll, Noah Lyles or Tyreek Hill, who you got? Fans love the who you got question.
I will beat Noah Lyles.
You got to bet on one. Who you got?
World champion of what?
Oh, we're not voting on drop? Oh, wait, I want to redo my vote.
Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Swing and a drive, deep left field. This ball headed back toward the wall, and it is going to be gone. A home run, Betts. Welcome back, Mookie. 3-0. Swings, hits a high drive, left center field deep. This ball heading back toward the bullpen. It is gone. A two-run home run, Shohei Ohtani. And the show begins here in Milwaukee. 2-2 to Betts. Runner goes, pitch a swung on, and hit in the air to right field, a base hit. Shohei around third, and he will score standing up. It's a two-out single that drives in a run.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
His first at bat in 2 months, a strikeout. But after that, Mookie Betts, well, he was golden. Returning from a broken hand a couple of months ago, it was good to see him back in the lineup. Indeed, welcome back, Mookie, on the Dodgers Radio Network. 2-for-4 with a home run. Had several RBI. He and Shohei Ohtani together had 5 of them at the top of the Dodgers order. And that was more than enough for Clayton Kershaw, who gets his first win, had half dozen strikeouts. And the Dodgers now tie the Orioles, the Yankees, and the Guardians for most wins in baseball and best winning percentage in baseball. I love Mookie Betts. He brings a lot of excitement and energy. Yes, talent and skill at the top of the order. Puts stress on opposing pitchers. Puts stress on the infield when he gets on base, too. And can hit for power every now and then. Obviously can hit for average and get out there and wreak havoc. Play multiple positions. He's so versatile in Major League Baseball, and he's finally back. So the Dodgers are trying to get healthy here. We'll see if they can keep that lead over Padres and Diamondbacks, who've been two of the hottest teams in baseball now for the last month or so. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The votes are pouring in. You gotta take one. You gotta bet on one. Is it Tyreek Hill or Noah Lyles? Fastest man alive. Who wins in a foot race? I will beat Noah Lyles.
World champion of what?
It's easy to talk smack when you're sitting in a chair next to the field being interviewed by Kay Adams. It's entirely another to do it when the pressure's on and the world's watching. Not that Tyreek Hill would ever shy away from pressure. I'm not suggesting that. But he's the one who said he was done running a couple years ago, right? This is what Noah Lyles does for a living. No, it'd be like Noah Lyles saying, I could catch a deep pass, a corner route, a go route. I could run it better than you can.
I can lock you up, Tyreek Hill. I can play cornerback and lock you up.
Let's not get carried away. Hey, speaking of Kay Adams, did you see the report on TMZ?
No.
No, you didn't see the report on TMZ?
No, I didn't. Okay. What happened?
I want to make sure that this is real and not made up.
Where would you get misinformation?
Well, because sometimes there are fake accounts. You know what I'm saying? I want to be certain that this is real. So maybe I shouldn't. But the report out, no. See, I can't say it now that I'm nervous because you haven't seen it, you said. It's about, reportedly, a relationship between the two. He's quickly Googling.
What?
Yeah. TMZ throwing it out there that the two are an item.
It's my quarterback right there.
Oh, are you a Giants fan?
I mean, that's right.
Kay's terrific.
I believe that.
You believe the report, the rumor?
I believe that Kay is terrific.
Oh, yeah, she's great. Really good at what she does.
Oh, indubitably.
And I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg, but she does have him on her show on a regular basis. So I don't know if...
Yeah, a little weekly, I think, yeah.
Right. So if that's... Right. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? If that's because they're in a relationship, they did a pretty good job hiding it, if that's the case, or if it's how the relationship started. Leave it to TMZ. TMZ always has the breaking news. Always.
I don't think we have a quarterback controversy anymore in New York. I think we found our quarterback. I think we found our franchise quarterback simply based off of this.
I don't even want to ask why.
Because that's how decisions on a football team should be made. On what goes on off the field.
Have I mentioned that your days on the show are numbered? You can find online at A-Law Radio, not TMZ, but me. I did not retweet it. I just saw it, and it was all the rage. So whether it's a fake account or a real account, it certainly made the rounds that the two are now an item. I mean, she wouldn't be the first one to ever be linked to a professional athlete, a female reporter slash talk show host slash analyst. And it makes sense, right? Because that's the world that she's in most of the time. So I get it. I don't know if it's true, but I get it. We're asking you to take our poll. I did put it up on Facebook now so you can find it there. I'm going to miss the Olympics and all these storylines, I think. I know that we'll be hot and heavy into football, but I'm definitely going to miss it. Soon we'll have Caitlin Clark record viewership and record audiences to be talking about again. But for now, yeah, I'm going to need a little more Noah Lyles.
Holy smokes.
Ray Gunn. Gold medals in my life. There's this Topps card. Now, I'm not huge into cards. I've got a few of some favorite athletes in the past. I got a Bo Jackson card from way back that I got when I was a kid. He was one of my favorites. Trying to think, actually, this is kind of funny. I have a Terry Francona card, which is also humorous, too, for people who either followed him with the Red Sox, well, the Phillies, the Red Sox, or the Indians slash Guardians. Now there's a new Topps card that features LeBron James, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant, signed by all three. You want to talk about rare? It's the only one that exists. And according to Topps, it's the first card ever with LeBron's signature. Now, this is Topps, okay? So first Topps card with LeBron's autograph, with LeBron and Curry autographing the same card, and then a Steph, KD, and LeBron triple. And while they're at it, this truly historic card, according to Topps, will find a new home soon. They're throwing it in as a bonus, as a surprise for fans who buy the Topps Now base cards. And it's going to be included in one of those packages. Can you imagine? Now, this is ingenious, right? Because it's causing people to race out and buy the Topps Now base card packages. But it features their red, white, and blue Team USA uniforms. And it will be sent to the winner. So it's a redemption card. You don't get it in, I guess I shouldn't say you get it in your package, but you get a redemption card in the package. And as soon as you redeem it, within 10 days, you get this authentic, one of a kind. It retails for $12. I think it'll be worth more. Since there's only one of one, it becomes a collector's item. That's kind of funny, though. It retails for $11.99. But you can't buy it. It's priceless if you can't buy it. All right, we'll talk to you tonight. Dominate your Tuesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!